Welcome to the patron Q&A for September 2023. October 2023.
Good job.
That's what that 10 means.
Yep.
We are a couple weeks out from the spooky holiday, which is
Thanksgiving.
Yes. Super spooky. You have to see like your relatives and stuff.
Honestly, I mean, yeah.
The most scariest time of the year.
You celebrate around a bird carcass.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty morbid, metal.
Yeah. No, the fun spooky holiday. Christmas.
There we go. Yep, we've got some stuff cooking right now. We've just put out an experimental branch with so many engine updates and other underlying changes that we just needed help testing them.
Yeah, it's very deceptive. It doesn't look like anything's changed much. Like, a couple of things sneaked in there. There's different platoon mate driving logic, and the voice controller changed, and like different stuff like that. But the major stuff that's coming up is not in that build. That is just like we gutted a bunch of stuff and reworked it on the next Unity. And it broke a bunch of things that we had before. We had to redo them. Mostly the tree system got overhauled, like the way that they actually spawn, which doesn't affect the actual gameplay. But it resulted in some changes, like a lot of the trees are in different places slightly. They have hitboxes now, as some people have noticed. The terrain's like very subtly different. Some people are having trouble with tree LODs because the old LOD controller is no longer able to see a setting, but it still remembers what you had set before, so it can mess it up. We gotta fix that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Lancer had that problem, and then some people on the Steam forums have reported it too. If you wipe the saved data from registry, it fixes it, but we have to change the code so it doesn't do it anymore.
I have let those threads just pile up so I can look at them Monday and say, oh, good, work to do.
Yeah, we'll have our work cut out for us this week. But for now, yeah, I'm just trying to enjoy my weekend. I keep looking at the forums because I can't help myself, and then I'm like, ah, okay, I'm going to ignore that for another day.
You nut.
Yeah, well, that's how it goes. Anyway, the point is, it's not like download the experimental branch to see all the cool stuff that's coming to the next patch. It's more like we really would like the help testing, and that helps it.
Yep, we don't know if this is going to be like a standardized thing, like every month, here you go, but this required many more hands, so we needed the eyes.
I'm guessing
eyes, hands, organs.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's not going to be a standard thing because we have the cast tier benefit of getting the early preview builds, and we certainly wouldn't want to undermine that by being like, oh, and everybody else also gets the early builds. But this was like a special occasion.
Yep. Please help us.
Also, important note, if you have feedback on the experimental build, please put it on Steam. There's too many places that people can give feedback, which is fine normally because it just kind of filters in casually and we sort of look and say, oh, okay, cool. But there's too much going on right now for us to monitor 5 different places, and we just want it all on the Steam board so we can look at it there.
Yeah, that's our definitive focus for right now. So if you've got stuff to put up for feedback or issues, then we'd love to see it there.
Yes. Okay. So,
how's this
we
work?
Are going to allow a request to speak, as usual. Use Discord, put up your hand, we'll take the requests in the order that they come in, and you can ask us whatever within reason.
And if there's no one to speak, we're just going to riff.
Yep.
As is our custom.
Mm-hmm.
What's the thing you're most excited about aside from all of the underlying changes this patch?
Like for the upcoming patch?
Yeah.
Stuff that I can't talk about.
Good. Okay, let's try that again. What is something that has been a hassle for all of the underlying changes to implement?
This, I mean, I didn't do, I think, the toughest parts of it. I think that was mostly you and Kevin working early in that branch to like strip out the tree system and put in the other one and do all that stuff. So I missed all the like the pioneering work. But coming in late, I really find it a hassle to switch constantly between the two different versions of Unity because we have to maintain the main branch while also working on the overhaul.
Yeah,
And
it's awful.
yeah. And also there's this fun little coincidence of features where we have trees that have persistent collision now, like their trunks always exist. But we have missions that were designed when the trees only existed when you got close to them. So now there are cases where vehicles will just get stuck. They'll just drive into a tree or they'll start in a tree and they'll never move because they're permanently encased by collision. And we tried to find all the cases where that can happen, but some of them got through. So, and this is mostly something that Kevin has to deal with because he's a mission guy, but just going through every old mission and being like, oh, that guy can't get there anymore. Oh, this guy's stuck. Oh, this happened. Oh, you can't see this guy anymore because the tree moved. It's just a huge pain. There's so much legacy content to go through.
Yeah, I don't envy him.
Also, one of the things that happened was we changed the way the game loads at the same time as we were doing this engine stuff. It would be fine if we were only doing one or the other, but doing both at the same time means that some of the bugs are not caused by the engine overhaul, they're caused by the sequence changing, like the M60 fire control system acting weird. That's because it's loading differently and some stuff's not working. And I'm just absolutely maddened by that because nobody touched anything in the fire control system for that build. It shouldn't be breaking, but it is. And then it's sometimes hard to figure out why because it acts differently in the editor than the build. So we have to like look at the logic and make a best guess or try to make like a debug build and hook into it. It's just a huge hassle. Like I thought I fixed it already and it's still partially broken.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that. That was a necessary change to do. Oh God, some multiplayer stuff, which is in testing, and two other things from contractors. We had to get it all done basically at the same go,
Yeah, no,
which is
it's
annoying.
a good change in the long run, but it's causing issues. Like the
Yeah.
some stuff starts up while the loading screen is still on and some of the systems are not quite right. Yeah. 'Cause we when we originally designed the game, when I started writing the game solo, I wasn't even thinking about multiplayer. I was just like, okay, everything can start up when it's ready and then just
It
go.
might need to, yeah. And that works until we unfortunately can't use it.
Yep.
The hey, everything starts before the screen load. I really should have caught that earlier, but I never play an editor with sound on, so I'm
Yeah,
never
you
hearing
blew my
that.
mind when you said that. Because I was like, oh, how did this get in? It must have been like different in the editor. But no, you just played on mute every time you worked on it. Oh, God.
My bad.
Anyway, you know what? If all of our players also listen to J-pop when they play, no one will notice, so it's fine.
Fair. It's city pop too.
Oh, nice. A man of taste. Okay, let's get our first speaker in here. Sebek GL. Microphone is muted.
Howdy, Sebek.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Hey, yes.
Yes.
Excellent. I just have a quick glance on the Steam, and I somehow cannot find a way of downloading that unstable branch.
Do you see the pinned post that says read me on the Steam discussion?
On the Steam discussion, okay. So he's all over there. Alrighty. We'll have a look in that case. Thanks.
Okay, no problem. All right. Until there are more requests, I will go back to roofing.
I saw another one was up there, but then they dropped.
Yep.
Because they were a coward. That's right. I'm putting down the gauntlet right here. If anyone else isn't a coward and would like to ask questions, please feel free.
Yes. So, stuff that we can't talk about, because it would be a spoiler, there is a little bit of that coming to the next update. Some people are getting really hyped because I said something about the next update being big. When I said the next update was big, I meant from our perspective, like the amount of work that we have to do because of the engine change. It's not like we're putting in an entire roadmap item or something like that. So if anybody wants like the inside scoop on what's the amount of stuff that's coming, it's not going to be like, oh, infantry showed up, you know? This is kind of a back-end overhaul type of thing. Yeah. We have a bunch of content that's very close to being ready, but we can't do that and also fix all this engine stuff at the same time. There's like, what is it, 5 people full-time? It's just not enough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got someone.
Toby Silverstone.
Hi, lad. Hey. So, been playing the beta a little bit. We all have been, or alpha, whatever you want to call this, like pre-release pack idea for the patches.
Experimental.
Thank you. Experimental release then. Can you sort of give us a bit more details on what actually was changed? Because from a lot of people's perspective, we're not seeing any sort of major changes apart from round trees and obviously causing hitbox from the trees. So can you give us a bit more details on what changed from your perspective?
Basically the underlying tech behind how a lot of the stuff works in the game. So it's not going to be something that you see. Nothing changed from the player's perspective. It's more like, for example, there was a system in the game before that would spawn trees when you looked at them, and it would try to manage the long distance LOD versus the close versus the medium and all this stuff, and it was like a third party package. And that third party package had 2 problems. One, it was no longer supported. The people who made it abandoned it. And 2, it was unstable. A lot of the crashes that happened with the game were linked to that package. So when we decided to upgrade Unity versions, and that brought a third problem, which is that it's, I think, technically not supported in that next version of Unity.
Yeah.
So we had to dump the tree system entirely. So we had to switch everything over to use the built-in tree system, which has different features, but you can make it look mostly the same in the end. And I think we did a pretty good job disguising the fact that anything changed, because if you look at the game, it looks pretty much the same. But still, that was a lot of work on our end. And we updated Unity versions in the first place because the version that we were using is it's reaching the end of its LTS support, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So they're no longer going to give it bug fixes or whatever, small patches. And we just wanted to stay more in the zone of, like, this is a currently supported version of Unity. And so that's why we moved to the next major version. But when you move major versions, some stuff breaks and we have to fix it. So all that stuff happened at once, and it's a big enough change in the back end of the game that we really needed to get people testing it, because there are not enough of us and we don't have enough time to play to catch all the small things that could have slipped through the cracks.
Because, of course, you know, a little bit of insider info, one thing we were talking about was how terrain changed, but that's not really visible. Explain what you meant by that.
It's all stuff that you're not going to notice as a player, pretty much. It works differently on the dev side, and that's it.
It's a little less that the terrain itself has changed, but the way items are placed on the terrain.
Yeah, there we go. The shape hasn't changed, the textures haven't changed, but the way that they're decorated, it functions differently.
How grass shows up, how bushes or hay bales pop up in certain areas. And the biggest thing you would either notice or not notice is how all the trees are placed. But that kind of comes across as, hey, I now can't see through my 9K 101 launcher because now there's a bush blocking it or another tree is blocking it or something. And those are the tiny little changes that we now have to get feedback on, give back to Kevin, the map editor, who can say, oh, I know where that is. Let me change that.
Yeah, because all the stuff is it's placed procedurally at editing time. It's always in the same place when you run the game, but we can't hand place every bush. So the editor will do it for us, but it does it slightly differently when you redo it. So there are some things that will block line of sight or no longer block line of sight that we just don't know about until we notice it.
Yeah. For big back-end changes like this, the idea is to push them out and hopefully players get the exact same experience. The other benefit of using or doing these back-end changes was upgrading Unity versions gave us, or has given, you know, people have reported that their CPU usage has become a lot better. We want to leverage that, and we want to start doing more optimizations with RAM so we can start having those minimum specs that we put on Steam page actually mean something.
Obviously, that's one thing I'm personally have noticed, that my system doesn't appear to be as hungrily used, but the actual in-game FPS is about the same. I'm not noticing major FPS. What I am noticing is that smoother gameplay rather than higher FPS. So I'm still getting, you know, not great FPS compared to some people. Probably, you know, on the really, really big missions that you would the last major content upgrade, I'm getting, you know, 25, 26 at the absolute most intensity to, you know, more like 45, 50, some areas 60.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that there's stuff that we can do still to improve FPS, but it was one of those things where there was only so much we were going to be able to do in the previous version of the engine, and this just improves the range of results we can get by upgrading.
Yep. Range of results, different opportunities for different assets to use. It enables so much more going forward.
Yeah.
So.
And active support from Unity, the company, and, you know, bug fixes to the editor and all that stuff. It's overall a better thing. It was just a lot of work, and it sucked up the majority of our team's efforts for this patch cycle. So we've still found some time to put in fun stuff, and the fun stuff will be coming in the next update. It's just not in the experimental.
The thing is, there's not many questions being asked at all at the moment. Quick one, then. What, from your point of view, and especially when we're talking about background stuff that we as players want, what would you say is your big thing that for you guys that's coming up? And I am talking background stuff so that you don't have to spoil anything big.
I like the fact that with the new tree system, we can finally start looking at knocking down trees.
Yep. That'll be fun. Because it offers a couple of technical challenges to how we're going to, say, let people knock down, you know, part of a forest, or if that's going to damage their tank, or how the vision system is going to react with that. I'm interested in, if you saw this, there was, in our GitHub feed, one of our contractors put in the underpinnings for radio contact.
Oh, yeah.
And, that's not going to be releasing as part of this patch, I can tell you that right now, because it changes the gameplay so much from our existing missions that we need to thoroughly test that. I don't know if we'll even do an unstable branch for that, but it's a big enough feature that it will give our mission editor, Kevin, a lot more tools for gameplay.
Yeah, it's that needs some more development. Like, we have to make it work with the AI to fully utilize it, such as when a call comes in on the radio that says there's a contact here, and then that gets distributed to the rest of the group, how do they react? That's an AI question. But the very basic testing that we did, which is just have them look over there and see if they can see anything, that already changes the flow of a lot of missions. Because there's a lot of cases where when the missions were designed, it was with the kind of dumb AI in mind, where they're like, okay, my job is to scan from 15 degrees to 45 degrees, and that's it. And if I get shot, I'll look over there. Now it's like, oh, I got a report on the radio that there's someone flanking me to the left. Let me look over there. And it completely changes the flow. And that's just with that one basic thing. We have to actually make some more in-depth rules and make people act smarter and all that stuff. So there's a lot of potential in the future. But for now, it's too volatile to include until we've tested it more. And obviously we can't test it more when we're in the throes of this engine upgrade. So there's kind of this pile of stuff that's like, it's like a wave waiting to crash down on the game, and it's almost there. And you look at it and you go, ah, there's so much stuff. I'm so impatient to get it in, but we got to do one thing at a time.
Yep. Otherwise, we'll rush all of it through and it'll be junk.
Not to mention, like, all the other stuff that's been slowly cooking. Like, the other day I ran a test scenario and I watched a squad of army soldiers have a firefight with a squad of Soviet soldiers. And, I mean, they were shooting at each other and they were taking cover and it was cool, but the infantry are not ready yet, so they're not in the game and they're not going in this patch. There's just tons and tons of stuff like that.
Okay, well, you've got some more questions, so I'm going to close the floor. Have a good day, guys.
All right, see you.
Thanks, and you too.
Raz, you're up.
Raz hurts.
Mic check, can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Yes. Okay, is it good. Raz HZ or Raz his?
Just call me Raz. The H Raz. Is just a identifier, if you'd call it that. Got anyway, it. My question is about the radios. Have you guys considered how you're going to display it? So, for example, in Steel Beasts, you have the chat box at the bottom. Are you guys planning on having something like that? Or is it going to be fully voiced or whatever?
I'm not sure about displaying each message specifically, but we are planning on having a map ping system for it. So when you get a report from headquarters that says, hey, Platoon 3 reported contact over here, it's just going to show a mark on your map, like live intel, and those will be able to expire or go stale or whatever. And there'll probably be some effect if you have contact with friendlies versus losing it. Like, you might see where they are, but then you won't anymore. There's a bunch of little details that we still have to try so we can decide what the best way is. But the general plan is to have it be visual. So you'll open up the map, you'll see the tactical situation as your side understands it and as people have called it in. But keep in mind, if somebody gets shot before they can finish the call, or if their radio's taken out, their personal intel is not going to get sent up the chain, and then you won't be seeing it on the map.
At the same time, we're trying to leverage, you know, what's visual and available in the compass, because you have icons that can show up there, in the map itself, because the map is just being used right now as like artillery launchers, and you don't get any additional information for that. Anything that might come up as like a ping message or anything on the UI, we'll try and vet that out and see what makes sense.
Yeah, I see that. I know some people like me are going to want it to be done so that we can actually... Some people just want realism so they can plot it themselves. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess I can see that. It'll be cool to have MilSim type operations to be done in Gunheap PC. So yeah, that's my question. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the question.
I think one good thing to keep in mind is that GHPC is a sim light, so there's going to be certain features from certain mil sims that we just are not interested in putting in because they're too in the weeds. It disrupts the flow too much. Like, we'll probably have a way to influence what friendly units do, some kind of orders modifying or whatever, but it's not going to be like a real-time strategy game. And it, you know, your job is not going to be like to be the commander of the force, so it's not going to be like give everybody every order. And you know, and in a similar way, like right now we have the hyper hardcore, like you don't see anything on the map except where you are and you just have to infer where stuff is. But that's not a design decision, that's just because we don't have any systems in place yet. It's going to be more streamlined because we don't want people to have to say, okay, I got a text report that says enemy in this sector, where is that, and like squint at the map for 5 minutes. It's got to be something that just fits with the gameplay and lets you get back to shooting at stuff.
Yeah, for a bit there it was a technical limitation, like we couldn't make modifications or anything to the map view, but now that has been cleared off and we have the ability to make those changes. Just got to find the time.
Oh yeah, that was a fun situation where we had this nice map with like the sign distance field scaling and all the stuff, but you couldn't actually draw anything on it. I'm glad we've fixed that because now we can actually put icons on there and do whatever we want.
Right. Something you've told me and something I've heard several times in the chat, and even one in the patron stage chat right now, is it would be cool to do estimation of distance or draw out like a ruler or a line to give you an idea.
Rulers are planned.
This is this much. Yeah. So we can now do that. We could not before. So now we can have overlays and stuff.
Yeah, because now you can do clever things like if you have a tank with a laser rangefinder, you can range the targets that you want to call artillery on and then look at your heading and then you pull up the map and you use the ruler tool, which is not there yet, but we're planning to draw out the same distance and heading, and then you're like, okay, that's where they must be. Like, that's a thing you could do in real life, and so we'll be trying to make it happen in the game as well.
Right.
Okay, we've got Sebek again.
Hello. Guys, do you planning to have some more missions soon?
Always. We have somebody who's pretty much a dedicated mission maker. They've been a little busy, but they're working on some stuff. We'll see what happens.
Right. Are you still open for suggestions on some mission scenarios? Or?
Feel free.
What's the best way? Just in the comments? Or?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something. Yeah, if you'd like, yeah.
I have plenty of ideas.
Okay.
Comments, email, feedback channel.
All right, yeah. I will start working on that. Excellent.
All right.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, next up is DP Abrams.
No, that's DP Abrams.
Oh, Abrams. My mistake.
Good morning, or good afternoon. So on the topic of artillery, I know some of this has been asked and answered. It just seems to have been some time. But where are you at on the variety of artillery ammunition? You know, ICM, smoke, phosphorus, copperhead, and also on the sheafs, you know, ordering, you know, if you want a linear or a area or that sort of thing. Can you expand on that?
So we've got some stuff in the works for some of those features, and then the others are under consideration. So for example, smoke shells are being worked on. There's a new UI coming soon for selecting artillery stuff and cast stuff in a more informative fashion, and also less glitchy, like it'll show you what's actually happening properly. That UI will allow you to do things like choose what kind of targets you have, theoretically. I don't think that part's in yet, right, Kavi? Like, choosing the type or whatever? Yeah.
No, that wasn't... The underpinnings for that are there, but we haven't finalized what we want that to look like.
Right, yeah. So some of the stuff is still planned. Like, when you make an artillery call, to my understanding, if you're a tanker, you don't say, hey, give me ICM. You say, tanks in the open, and then they send the correct type for whatever they have on hand. So it'll probably end up being something like that, where you can go with a default artillery call, or you can change the options before you send it. And then shape may make it into that as well. We have some designs for it, but we have to, like a lot of things, we'd have to actually build it and see if it works.
But you're comfortable in saying there'll be, you know, HE, which is already there, smoke, which is being worked on, and at least ICM?
It's very likely that ICM will show up. Although, since there is artillery outright, I don't think adding more artillery shells is like a super high priority right now. It's okay. One of those things that's like definitely on the radar for long term.
And one follow up, and then I'll hang up and listen. But how about battalion or company level mortars?
We've got some experiments going on with mortars. It's too early to say how they'll play in, but it's also on the radar.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's some stuff that it's like, I'd like to be able to say yes, definitely, but the reality is that it's still in prototyping and just experimenting phase. And we've prototyped stuff before and said, I don't know about that. So it would have been a bad thing if we had just listed off everything like, yeah, this is definitely happening because we're working on it, and then it never shows up.
Yeah. We've done that before.
We have done some stuff early. Like, when I posted the BRDM with the Strela launcher on it, I still feel pretty confident that that will be a thing, that there will be any aircraft, but it was very, very early in the process. That's usually something we would not do. And then after that happened, the artist who was working on that was like, wait, you showed them that? That's like super early. Why did you do that?
It was like blackout quality, and we're like, oh, yeah. God, we didn't notice that. No.
Yeah. Anyway.
But, you know.
We try not to do that. We don't want to have the Bradley situation where it's like, oh, here's a picture of it driving around. It's almost here. And then like a year and a half goes by and it's not there yet.
Yep. A forever mistake.
Mm-hmm. We kind of did a very early teaser with putting the Leopard and the T-64 in the game, like the models. Mm-hmm. I think the thought was like to hint that this wasn't the complete vehicle set. But I don't know. I'm still not sure if it was a good move or not to put work in progress stuff, because then people are like impatient for it.
Making a game is difficult. Making an early access game is super difficult, and then being the marketer for your game is just like it's minefields everywhere.
Yeah, we pretty much like we try not to say much at all most of the time because there's so many pitfalls you can get into. Like, imagine if we were constantly putting out press releases. We would have to really, really watch how our messaging goes and be consistent and stuff, because yeah, there's just too many ways to slip. Yeah. Oh, we're gonna do this, we're planning on doing this next. Oh, just kidding, we lied, something else came up. Like, it would be all over the place.
As far as patron go, what can we share with them about the next upcoming patch, do you think?
Is it okay to say the theme?
The theme is good.
Let's say occasion. So the next patch, we're aiming for the end of the month. The end of the month is marked by a holiday. That fact is not lost on us, and there will be some content related to that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say also, if the mission guy is able to get stuff ready in time, there may be some normal missions as well, but I can't guarantee it because it sounded like he was dealing with IRL stuff as well.
Oh, real life.
Yeah, always a pain. What were you going to say about the thematic stuff?
I was just going to say it'll be spooky.
Oh, yeah. Perhaps even spooky scary.
There's one thing I want to drop, but I shouldn't because we don't have a proper place for it yet. So, yeah.
I feel shitty. What kind of thing?
Something to do with AAR that our artist has been working on.
to do with AR.
And I'll leave it at that.
Oh.
You might get... Yeah, you got it.
I think I got it. I'm actually not sure. You'll have to DM me.
God damn it. Okay. Someone is waiting to speak, though.
Yes, D.P. Abrams, or DePabrams, again.
DePabrams.
DePabrams, there we go. Mic is muted, though.
Alright, take two.
So, end of the month holiday content, so that'll be, what, pumpkin spice?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, man, you leaked it.
Scary clones. So, Josh, you kind of led on to a question I had earlier. I've kind of been anxiously awaiting smoke grenades, and you showed the sequence. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it's in development, and also kind of inferred from that as far as the reverse following, you know, your leader's vehicle and not exposing the rear, which is kind of a point of frustration, but that's being worked on also, I trust.
Yeah, if you played the experimental branch, that actually made it in when we made
I've done just a couple missions, admittedly, but
I was just gonna say, if you play Kinetic Key, for example, because there's that big open field and the berm that you park up on to do long range shooting, might notice if you put your formation in line and then back up, they'll back up with you. Anyway, what was your last question?
The last thing, and I'm remembering a previous answer, but the crew serve weapons on the vehicles currently, it's just anything with a small turret like the M60. Everything else is going to wait for the crew members. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the plan. I think technically we could make the Abrams work like the M60 because they could operate it from under the hatch, but it's one of those things that it's not a super high priority. So I'm not sure if we'll bother with that or if we'll wait for the crew.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. I see people speculating about spooky skeletons. I guess we'll have to find out.
It's that time of the year. Mm-hmm. You know it.
This holiday is my girlfriend's favorite part of the year. We did the trip to the Halloween store and all that stuff, you know, the usual holiday traditions.
Are you dressing up as a tanker?
No, hell no.
It would be on brand.
It would be on brand, but who would I impress with that?
Me. Okay, pictures for the Discord.
You know, maybe sometime I'll buy a bunch of stuff and do some Stolen Valor cosplay of a tanker. But
I wasn't going that far. That's your thing, okay?
No, I'm actually going to a wedding that has a Halloween theme because it's so close to Halloween, which is a pretty fun idea.
Nice.
So, that'll be neat. Anyway.
Josh, oh god. Undead skeleton tankers, there we go.
Oh yeah, that would be a pretty spooky costume. It's a cool idea.
Oh boy. Right after this...
I was going to say, you guys are very active in the text chat for the stage, but this is an audio recording, so the whole point is to actually talk.
That's why I haven't been answering any other questions.
Yeah.
And they've got okay questions.
I try not to look at the chat very much, actually, during the stage, because then it'll just be like an hour of Action and Kavi reacting to chat, which isn't really the point.
Unless. No. Oh boy. What is something that you hope to get down pat this week?
Well, the bugs in the experimental build, mostly.
Mostly those, yeah. Are we just gonna focus on those then?
I would say probably first thing, yeah. I know you were working on something else, and I would still love to see that something else get done. But as far as relative priority, I feel like the bugs are more important.
Yeah. My work is just about there. Nice. So I'm fairly confident that we'll make it into the patch.
Yeah? Do you think you can knock that over in time?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think another solid day. That's good. But I'm looking at this mountain of little items to fix up. I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's to unmute the game. Yeah, I'm like,
good job. Good job heckling text chat. You don't have the balls to come on here and actually say anything, but you can type real good.
I accept it.
The thing that annoys me is that I put so much effort into making sure the fire control systems could still function in the new flow, and then I put out a build and they're still broken. It's so irritating. I like when my debugging actually works, like, in the editor, in the place where I can fix it, instead of, like, mystery problems that I have to build the game to see when they show up. Whatever.
I'm very curious about that one. You'll have to walk me through some of the stuff you were doing.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. It's just...
Yeah. Definitely. What was I going to say? Oh, here's another thing that we just did. No, I'm not going to say that, because Battle Doge wants to speak.
Oh. Nice.
I'll save my content for later.
All right, Battle Doge.
Hello.
Hey.
Howdy.
So, speaking of fire control systems, would you say that this is kind of the beginning of the fire control system rework?
This isn't, but that is happening. There's, that's actively being worked on. I've seen some, I've been testing it on the side. It's on a separate branch. It seems to work fine. Some people have seen previews of some of the features that it gives too. I don't remember if we showed turret momentum at all, but we showed gun detent, like fixed elevation stuff for reloading. T-72 has that in real life, which we haven't done before, but that's coming. Also, as a side effect, it fixed BMP2. I don't know how many people have noticed the BMP2 doesn't scan when the AI are controlling it. It just sort of sits there with the turret forward. That wasn't on purpose. It was just being weird with the previous system. And then with the new system, it's actually functioning perfectly fine. So there's like a lot of small stuff that's improved, and there will probably be more in the future. Like, I really want to fix up stabilizers, but that's going to have to be a separate effort.
Very cool. I suppose, I guess as a follow-on question, what would you fix with the stabilizers?
Well, they are often a frame behind in their motion compensation. Like, they don't react instantly, which would be okay, because in real life, stabilizers aren't perfect either. But the problem is the tank will let you shoot when the stabilizer hasn't caught up yet. In real life, there is a feature called fire gating, which detects if the gun is aligned with the intended vector. And then if it's not, if there's too much error, it just won't let you fire. It will interrupt the trigger until it's back in alignment. And the gunner won't really notice, because it's going to be like a split second kind of deal. Especially if the tank's moving. As soon as it moves back in line, it lets the gun fire while your trigger is still held. But that feature isn't properly working. It works in some cases, in very dramatic cases, like when you can't get the gun to lower as far as the sight, like in the T-72 if you're peeking over a hill. The fire gating works there. The light turns off at the top of the sight to tell you it's not ready anymore. Abrams has the same thing, that little box icon in the sight. That's for the ready to fire. So that works fine if it's like a dramatic difference. But the little fine-tuned detection, like is the stabilizer caught up, that doesn't work right. So if you do a hard stop and you fire at the same time, or the tank is rocking or something, it will throw your shot. It's really easy to notice in the M60. If you're moving and shooting, that's an issue. I know some people have considered it like a huge game breaking problem. I don't know that I agree with that, but it's definitely annoying. It's something we want to fix long term. So that's what I mean by stabilizers.
That's really cool. I guess I've experienced that myself. I always kind of kind of drill it in to do a short stop before firing. So cool to see that range. I forget exactly the term it was, but that's exciting.
Yep.
Thanks. I guess that's all the questions I have.
Alrighty. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've got Toby Silverstone again.
Hey guys, sorry, I had a important phone call. I've been asked already today. So firstly, a bit of future look ahead. We've obviously seen, you know, the beginnings of aircraft and various selections of aircraft and stuff coming in. Is there any sort of more adaption to that mechanic on the horizon, apart from obviously the UI interface and how the player calls it in? Does that, the game develops, or are we sort of, for the basics of the aircraft, are we now at the, this is done, this is all, they're in, they're done, they're working as intended?
Aircraft, so as far as calling them in, I don't think it's going to change. You're just going to be told there's fixed wing on standby, you can call them into a location, and then they'll find and prioritize targets. You're not going to be able to choose, like, you have an A-10 and an F-4 on standby, which one do you want to call in? Because that's not your job as a tanker. That's whoever's doing the air control.
That's what I thought you'd say. Okay, so very much it's not fixing the user interface, making sure that it work, that works, and then when radios line up, I'm guessing there's going to be, you know, audio of tanker calling at West or something.
We have some stuff that we're experimenting with for audio. Audio is challenging because every time we add a new system that we would want on a radio call, we have to get all of our voice actors to record new lines for it. And that, aside from the fact that that takes time and money, the more we do that, the more risk there is that somebody's not going to be available, or that the audio isn't going to turn out exactly like we want it, or whatever. And for things like error support calls, some of it could be done like by a different actor. If it was like the air controller responding, or, you know, like that's a different person. That's fine if it's not the tanker actor. But even so, it's a lot of extra work. And I think so far, the stuff that we have done, it's pretty generic callouts. There may be a little more coming. We're still talking to some people about, like, how do we set that up so it's realistic enough, but it's not super granular and annoying. There's never going to be a case where the game is rattling off, like, a full fidelity 9-line call or whatever, you know, some by the letter, by the book radio traffic, because it's just too much work to make it. If the point of the game was radio communication, we would do it, but it's not. We're going to take shortcuts. Kind of like how the crew currently don't read off their range when they do the fire commands. We could probably make it happen. It's super irritating, and it also risks having ARMA syndrome, where the voice clips don't match each other when you splice them together. There's just a lot of pitfalls involved. So yeah, to sum up, we've got some things that we want to put radio traffic on, more audio calls, but they're not going to be overly complex, and we're still working out the best way to do it.
Okay. And then the other one, you spoke earlier when I asked the first time about how one thing you enjoy is the fact that the rewrite of the terrain mechanics, and especially trees, has allowed you to now start thinking about deformable trees, and not deformable, but knockdownable. Mm-hmm. Is that system going to be looked into for terms of, like, the grass bushes, the wall, walls as in, sorry, not fence and the like?
So,
are we more likely just to see, you know, one or two items on every map being deformable on top of trees?
So all of these things are something we'd like to do eventually, but they all work differently. For example, grass currently is knocked down when you drive over it, but it's kind of hard to see sometimes. Bushes are supposed to be knocked down when you drive over them, but the zone on the tank that triggers that is kind of weird. It's I think the asset that we were using changed partway through using it, and it's now less sensitive than it used to be. I don't know if anybody remembers, like, very early builds of this version of the game, when you would drive over a bush, it would, like, wobble and, like, flatten for a minute as he went over. It barely moves anymore. I'm not exactly sure why. We can probably fix it. But then, like, you get into things like fences and walls. That's a completely separate system that we'd have to make. Not even the same as tree knockdown, just a completely different thing. And we have ideas on how to do it, but it's not been done yet because there's, you know, there's a lot of things to work on, and that one's not made it to the top of the list yet. So basically, we have all these things in mind, but it's going to take time to get to each one.
Okay, and then one final sort of repeat question I asked you the first time round. Of the stuff that is visible that you can talk about, what are you probably most looking forward to showing off?
Well, it's hard to say, because all the stuff I'm most excited about right now is stuff that I don't want to spoil.
Okay, in that case, stuff that's coming up recently that's visible, what are you most proud of?
I'm not sure. The things that are on my mind right now are the ones that I can't talk about, and I can't come up with the other ones at the moment.
No worries, you guys are probably very busy bug hunting, bug squishing, and hammering.
Basically.
Hammering a bit of Unity themselves at times, I'm sure.
We're both thinking very much in the short term of, let's get over this mountain, and then we know the patch will be very cool once we put it out. Come back to us next month's Q&A and ask us that question. We'll be like, oh man, did you see X? Whoa.
Okay. I'm sure I'm about to ask a question everyone's going to ask you, but what's the ETA on the patch if everything goes right?
We're aiming for by the end of the month, because it's going to be thematic, so it would be a shame if it arrived after Halloween.
Okay. In that case, lads, I'll turn it over to the others. Have a good evening.
All right.
Thanks.
Nico, what's going on?
Hi. I have a question. Short version is, how do I cheese the game? Longer version, how does Cass aim? You explain how Cass, like, circled around to get to the right position to fire and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a few incidents of rocket Cass widely missing. And I'm wondering if they are, like, compensating for movement, or how do they aim, basically?
They are meant to aim in a way that compensates for everything. Their own movement, the target's movement, gravity, whatever. Clearly something is not quite working right, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay. Because I thought they were, like, always firing slightly ahead, and because sometimes targets are static... they simply miss, so...
No, okay. They are meant to take into account the current speed of the target. Okay. If they're missing, it's just how it is.
If they're missing, I started piloting. Let's be real.
Okay. So, yeah, basically it was like, how do they drop bombs? How do they, like... I was mostly, like, wondering what they took into account. Was it like the actual movement, the predicted path, or something?
No, it's all physically based, and it takes into account all of the actual positions and velocities and does prediction. It's supposed to be like dead on accurate. If it's failing, that means that one of those pieces is not working the way I expected, and I need to go back and look at it again, which I will do sometime.
It's dead on accurate with bombs, so.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware that the rockets miss. I've seen it. I looked at it and said, "God damn it!" And I'm too busy with other things to work on it right now.
Okay. Cool.
A likely story.
I'm done with my question. You can yeet me.
Okay. Prepare to be yeeted. There we go.
Do you feel powerful eating him?
I do, actually, just a little bit.
Good job.
This whole moderator powers thing really goes to your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Quite a few people now.
Oh, yeah. Next up is Sebek again.
Regarding the Cass as well, do you plan to have a gun rant, especially A10? And what do you think about the half them as well disperse some flares when they're pulling out of the attack?
Gun runs are possible. We have to just slightly rework the system to allow it, because right now the system is geared toward releases of single munitions, and doing the A-10 cannon run is a lot more than a handful of items. But that's not very difficult. It's just something that we'd want to do later on when it's relevant. I know the AI supports choosing a weapon based on the target type, so we could very easily do like thin skin vehicles, give it a gun run. That won't be a problem. It's just a matter of one day it'll become important enough to look at again, but for now, no.
A10, every vehicle is thin skin, actually.
Yeah. And then your question about flares. I imagine that's something we would think about once we have anti-aircraft.
No, it's just when you're looking on some, even the training picture, like your MI-24 going to attack, they're always just dumping flares like crazy.
Oh, yeah, no, it's definitely a thing that's done in real life a lot, but polishing the way the planes behave is probably going to be secondary to tank stuff for a while.
That's understandable. Alright, yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Alright, next up we have the Zenbot.
Okay, my only question. Has the issue in which some computers with 32 gigabytes of installed RAM will just crash on mission entry, like regardless of the mission, been fixed?
I don't know that that's specific to 32 gigs. I know some people have had crashing issues. I've seen one person say that the experimental branch fixed their issue of crashing when they entered a mission. So if you haven't tried the experimental branch yet, go ahead and try it and let us know.
Okay, that's all I have.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Next up is Kanik.
Hello.
Hey.
So this question is kind of in two parts. So just in regard, because I was rereading the roadmap the other day because I was shilling it to one of my friends. And we got to like the section regarding the dynamic campaign, and obviously I imagine this is like very, very early stages for you guys. But did you have like a general scope for like the time frame that it's supposed to take place? Like, is it like a week, a month, 3 months?
We have some ideas, but we've not nailed that down yet.
Some of the ideas we've passed around was each mission could take in game like a day or two of time or something. Some time would pass and potentially the front would move or different missions would spawn based on that. We're not sure if we want to commit to using that sort of a time mechanic.
I see. And then the follow-up to that is just assuming that you decide to kind of have like a more protracted campaign, you know, thinking about like the U.S. vehicle reserves and stuff, or like if something kicked off in Germany, they would kind of just like cart over like divisions worth of troops to the Falda Gap. Would we see either different vehicle markings or potentially different vehicles? The main one I was thinking, I don't know if this actually fits into any of like the published Orbat tables, but when the PT-76 came out, I kind of wondered if we'd see a sort of like an American analog to that. Like, you know, I think of like the Sheridan, but I think that was only in service with like a very small portion of the 82nd. I just wanted to know if that was anything you guys had thought about.
There's a couple of things in there. One about are there other vehicles, like kind of lower tier vehicles planned for the US? It's hard to say. We've got some stuff that we could throw in if we put a bunch of work into it, but I don't know if or when that would happen. There are certain vehicles that we know are definitely coming to the game that were in theater, and then there are some that are kind of on the fence where it's like, yeah, we could justify these showing up if we want to put the work in. We'll see how it goes with the rest of the development. That's why we don't give a list of every vehicle that we're working on, just like certain ones that have been revealed on that that spreadsheet, because it's too dangerous to just say everything we're working on and people expect it. So I can't properly answer that question. The question about would the vehicle sets or markings or whatever change over time in the campaign? Well, first, it depends if we do the time thing. If we do the time thing, I think there's a pretty good chance that the vehicle selection will be influenced by time. That's already kind of a thing. I don't know how easy it is to notice, but the M1 IP and the T-72 M1 are time-locked in the campaign, even in the basic like prototype campaign thing. That's just a mission generator.
Yeah, I did notice that. And I think as well with some of the some of the Sabo types, I think, change over time, or if that's just me making that up.
No, that's you making it up. The Sabo types are the Sabo types are logistics linked. So if you have a logistics hit on one side, they have a lower chance of rolling their top tier rounds, and they have a higher chance of getting the weaker ones. So like M774 will start showing up if the NATO side is taking a hit. So yeah. Any other questions?
Not really in that regard, thanks. That was basically everything I wanted to ask.
Alrighty. Thank you.
Alright. It's about that time.
It is about that time.
Oh, there's one thing I wanted to note that I should have noted earlier. We released the soundtrack for Gunner Heat PC.
Oh, yeah. We did. I'm also going to make a note of that in the next release notes post, just to make sure people hear about it.
Yeah.
We did make a Steam announcement. I'm not sure how many people see those. But yeah, the soundtrack is out. It's been asked for a very long time. People are always like, where do I get the music? I know there's... you can listen to it on SoundCloud, but you can't download from SoundCloud. And then some people have put them on YouTube as well. But the soundtrack comes with the high-quality versions, and it comes with custom mixes of the mission music to kind of become a coherent single piece.
Yeah.
Majora's did a really good job on that stuff. And buying the soundtrack supports both him and us. So anybody who's interested in that, feel free. It's on Steam.
Getting the soundtrack now will also get you access to any future music that we put together for the game.
Right.
We're going to add it as updates to that. However Steam treats soundtracks, it's kind of like DLC-ish of sorts, but...
Yeah, basically if we update the depot, it will automatically download the new content for whoever owns that.
Yep.
And I can say... there is at least one more thing coming to the soundtrack, so you will get an update.
Yes. For anyone asking how you get the soundtrack to your phone or anything like that, once you install it via Steam, you can find the sound files yourself. At that point, you can transfer them wherever you want.
Oh, right. Yeah, if you open local files from like the properties of that item in your library... you can see two folders. One says MP3 and one says FLAC. That's the high quality audio. Or you can play it directly through the Steam app, just as like a music player.
With their rewrite of how they've done the Steam client, you can just find it and then just start playing it like a playlist, right?
Yeah, Steam will play any soundtrack stuff that you have. I'm not sure how it works with like... if you can shuffle your whole library, or if you only have to pick one album at a time. I only own the GHPC soundtrack through Steam currently. Or
you don't support other devs and their soundtracks?
See, yeah. I've bought other soundtracks on Steam, but it was so long ago, I'm not sure if they actually work the same way. Like, I have the Portal soundtrack, I have some other stuff.
Okay, boomer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, you've had Steam since Orangebox, haven't you? So...
I have a very old Steam account. Yes.
Your Steam account is so old that your account name is an email address that you cannot change.
You shut up right now.
And it's
I don't feel like don't
I'm not going to say what it is. I'm just saying I would really hate if my Steam account name was the email address I used when I was 12 or whatever.
Apt. Yeah. 14. Anyway.
Yep. People are asking about leaks. I don't know about that. Champ, I don't know. I'm not sure that we should do
this
that.
This is a middle of the month sort of thing. The patch is coming in due time. Anything we leak to you guys would not be that great at the moment. So, we're going to wait and give you guys a full patch, and then next Q&A, we'll have a leak already set up for you.
Yep.
Top Gun said we had some leakers. I don't know what that means.
But
that's what we're going to go with.
There's, this will probably come through in the recording and not in the Discord, but there are kids screaming outside my apartment, unfortunately, and I'm on an open mic. So apologies to the audio listeners later on for the distraction.
That's just a Halloween thing.
That's true. That's getting in the spirit of the next update. All right.
Good. Good you guys don't hear it. In any case, maybe we'll drop something after this is finished up. But I think we are set now. Yes?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Thanks for coming, everybody.
See ya.